I'm Joel.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Ryan.
And I am Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase. And join us today as we try to get through the next 45 minutes without Kyle yelling, "We're doomed!" on this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. Welcome back to Season 4, Episode 20 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Army Showcase over at TabletopBattlefield.com. And it's been a while since we've done any kind of review, so it's now time to do our review blitz. The first game we're looking at today, in this episode anyway, is Castle Ravenloft, which is the new Dungeons & Dragons cooperative adventure board game, of course, by Wizards of the Coast, because they own the Dungeons & Dragons license. Now, this game came out probably about a month ago. Like I said, it's a cooperative game for 1 to 5 players. There is a solo aspect to it if you want to play it that way. And the idea is you're leading a group of heroes through a dungeon, killing monsters, trying to maybe kill some super cool monster, something big, powerful, find an item, steal a treasure. You have very random different objectives. This game retails for around $65. It comes with a boatload of stuff. Let me read off the components here, kind of off the back. Doing the best I can.
So, not prepared.
41 dungeon tiles, which is what you build the board with. 42 plastic characters, including heroes, monsters, and this monstrous thing here that's absolutely awesome, the Draco Lich. There he is.
Where's the dragon?
Here he is. He's a giant zombie dragon. We've got a bunch of cards, tokens, all sorts of crazy crap, but there's a lot of stuff in here for $65 is what it comes down to. Let's go ahead and dive into what's inside the box and give our impressions of what we think about the quality and quantity of the product here. So Joel, why don't you start first? Kind of give us an idea of what you like about the quality of the figures, or the quality of the components, and what you don't like.
Well, I thought that the figures were very cool for this type of game. I mean, they have enough detail to be interesting and create a fun atmosphere. Same thing you get with the villains, you get a ton of different guys. Very cool Blazing Skeleton right here.
Blazing Skeleton's awesome.
Blazing Skeleton's very cool. And I think that the tiles do their job well. They, you know, there's lots of different dungeons you can build, and there's enough detail on them to make them attractive, but not, you know, too much. I mean, they're general enough.
You can still tell what's going on. They're not too busy or...
Right, know. Yeah. So I thought they did a great job with the tiles. It's cool that they give you little tokens for all the different powers and such. So I thought that was really cool too. Lots of different cards, powers to choose from. Very good.
What about the overall value of the game? You think it's worth the money?
Yes, I do. $65, I think it's worth the money. You get a bunch of stuff here, and you can customize the game. Mm-hmm. According to what you're in the mood for.
Ryan, what do you like about the quality of the figures and things?
I like the quality, especially like I didn't see these spiders, but these spiders are really cool just the way they are. Because I have arachnophobia, and like if I were to see one of these things, even this big, like just on my dresser, I'd be like, ugh. So yeah, I love the figures. Figures are great. The cards, the very fact that there's just only one dice in this game, even though it is kind of a headache, is great. Yeah. To where it's like not, I mean, this game doesn't really not, I mean, it is decided on a dice roll, but actually more, I think, more based on the flipping of cards and just of the pure luck of what cards you get.
What about the component, like the board quality, card quality, like the artwork, all that kind of stuff?
Yes, I like the artwork. Give an extra, like, just for the box itself, because I think the box,
That's the artwork box right there.
Yeah, the artwork on the box, and also just the size of it. Face. Yeah. also just the size of the box. You know you're getting a lot of stuff in this.
It's a pretty good size box. It's heavy, too.
Yes. So, I mean, that makes anybody just buying it from, like, the store or whatever, when they feel that weight, I mean, you're just going to get excited just for feeling the weight of it and realize, okay, you got a good brick here.
All right, I guess I'll jump in there. I do like the figures. They are very good quality. There is one kind of downside to reason why they are such good quality. At least some of them, if not all the figures, are resculpts from the previous Dungeons & Dragons figure line. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely a hater in there. Like they did with the Heroescape stuff with the repackaged figures, they are repackaging figures here again. I don't know if all of them are. I know some of them are. Like, the actual wizard here is the same wizard that comes in the Heroescape Dungeons & Dragons set, except he's not painted this time. But whatever. Quality of the tiles is really nice. They seem pretty durable. They look good. They have cool artwork. They get, you know, nice and clean to use, and nothing gets in the way there. The cards are all nice, too. They're very clean, mostly easy to read. So overall, I like the quality of the game. It's also pretty good value for $65. You do get a lot of crap. Go.
I do like the quality of the figures, the action poses that makes them dynamic and at least get you a little bit more into the game. The artwork is very well done, and there's plenty of cards that, you know, get you to...
Yeah, 200 plus cards, something in the game.
You know, it keeps things interesting. The one downside I thought was noticing that you can put pieces of walls on the tiles together that should not go in certain spaces.
Yeah.
Noticing that, I thought it could have been done...
Like you've got walls and like
random
nothing.
Walls, yeah. Yes. And that could have probably been done better. The artwork on it's fine for what needs to be done. You got the squares and point you in the right direction. So, but the, as I said, the one downside was the walls on the tiles.
So a little bit of kind of funky wall design sometimes, or wall pattern, wall layout, tunnel layout, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It looks kind of weird. Yeah, okay. It's not fun, you know, damage in terms of functionality of the gameplay, but it does look kind of weird and screwy. So, let's move on here. Normally we go to talk about game setup, but frankly this game there really is no setup, which is kind of a good thing. You gotta punch the cards out, but there's no figure assembly, they all come assembled. There's no, you can paint them if you want to, but there's nothing like that. So I like the fact that really, it took me about 10 minutes, 15 minutes to get the game up and running. All the cards, sort them out, shuffle them, and you can play right away. So, that was really good there. So, forget the game setup, let's go right to our battle report. A typical Castle Ravenloft adventure starts here on the stair tile usually. In this case, they have all the heroes lined up, ready to go. The particular adventure we're playing at the moment actually requires us to protect a human who is slowly turning into a vampire. We're trying to lead him through the dungeon to find a dark fountain, which will kind of cure him of the vampire transformation that he's currently going through. So let's get started here with the first turn. So Joel here has already started exploring the dungeon and has came across our gargoyle, which is probably one of the hardest monsters in the game. So now at this point we enter what's called his villain phase. The first thing he had to do because of the tile was draw an event or encounter card, and he got a spider web trap kind of attack. So go ahead, make the roll, Joel, and see if you get hit by the falling spider webs. That's a 6.
I do not.
6 plus 4 is a 10, which is less than your armor class, which is like 17, so that does not hit you. Now the gargoyle activates. So each of the monsters on their card have instructions about how the monster activates. In case of the gargoyle, it's going to move towards the closest hero under most circumstances and attack everybody on that tile. So, Joel, why don't you move the gargoyle towards you and have him attack you?
There we go.
Okay. So he has an attack value of plus 8. How attacks work is you have the attack value plus a d20. If it's greater than or equal to the target's armor class, they are hit.
So on a 9 plus, I take damage.
So 9 plus.
No, you take damage in this case, even if
you
miss.
Oh, yeah, because this one says even if you miss, you take 8 point of damage.
Oh, that's right.
9 plus to see if you get hit. 8 plus 8 is 16, so you survive. And we move on to the next
and
player.
And takes 1 damage, so.
Oh, it takes 1 point of damage because of gargoyle, damage. Yes. Stupid gargoyles. And we move on to Kyle's turn, who is playing as the rogue. At this point, we're exploring the dungeon and got some monsters coming from all sides, and Ryan's back here babysitting the half-vampire thing.
I guess I'll go.
You go try to kill the skeleton?
Yes, with the...
So you got a 9 attack onto the 16 armor class of the skeleton.
10.
That would be a 1! Therefore, you have failed.
Oh my goodness.
I'm going to explore this area.
Okay, want to go ahead and flip over the top tile, Kyle, and place it down? So exploration works, you take a tile off the stack, place it down with the arrow facing where you were. Now this is a white tile, which means all that's going to happen is a monster is going to come out. So Ryan, or Kyle, you're going to draw a monster card off the top of the stack here. And what is it now?
Wraith.
a wraith. So now Kyle's going to control that during his villain phases. And the wraith ends up on the little bone pile right here, and things get really bad at this point. So now the wraith activates, attacks everybody, and we go downhill from there. Things are getting worse here as the young vampire transformed into a full vampire because a skeleton walked onto Ryan's square where he's protecting him. So now Kyle's hoping to throw a dagger, kill the skeleton, therefore cause the young vampire, or the now vampire, to transform back to a young vampire.
And save my life.
And you've got to roll a 9 onto it plus some.
I have a 9.
You got to get a 7 or better to hit the skeleton, right?
Yes. 7.
That's a 7. So you did right. And the skeleton dies.
Go away.
Kyle did not explore anything.
I can still explore, can't I? Oh, I moved.
Yeah, well, you're not on the edge of something. So he's got to draw on a counter card. So, Ryan, we'll hand him a counter card. Let's see what happens to this poor guy.
Attack each hero on the active hero's tile.
Well, that's just you, fortunately. 7! 3 damage? Oh, ouch. Alright, so this case, what you can do is you can basically cash in experience points of killing monsters to cancel things like event cards, which Joel just did to save Kyle. So that event card is discarded, and fortunately this horrible attack does not happen.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So at this point here, Kyle is ready to smash the spider out of the way and run to the dark fountain and begin the healing process. So how are you going to attack him, Kyle?
I'm going to use a snipe shot, which will give me, because he's one tile away,
okay,
plus 2 to attack, and then I get a plus 1 for being on the same tile as Ryan.
All right, go ahead. Roll your dice.
Die,
yes. Roll your die.
Yay!
That's a 19. That's a solid hit. He's definitely splattered.
And I get the points from that. Splatter.
And now you're going to move there and bring the little vampire guy with you?
You have to bring the vampire guy with you?
Well, you want to because, heal him, he's got to be in that square. Yeah, okay. The tile. So now it's the end of your hero phase. It's both you and a hero and the vampire half-human thing are on there. We take 1 hit point off the Dark Fountain. You number 1 step closer to victory. At this point here, we are basically 2 turns away from winning, and Kyle wants to try to do something going down in a blaze of glory. What are you doing exactly?
I'm attempting to kill 4 creatures on 1 turn.
These 4 right here, the blazing skeleton, zombie, rats, and kobold skirmisher. And how do you plan to accomplish that? What are you using?
My utility power, sneak attack, gains plus 4 to an attack and plus 1 damage, and the dagger barrage, which allows me to attack all creatures within 1 tile of you.
Alright, let's see what happens. So what does this still give you? A plus what? Plus
7 attack plus 4 bonus. So I got 11 attack. And I got 3 damage. And if I miss, it does 1 damage anyways.
Oh, if you miss, it's 1 damage anyway? Oh, what if you hit? 2 damage?
3 damage now.
3 damage.
Nice.
Oh, okay. So you're basically going to kill them all, except for maybe the blazing skeleton. Oh, I don't know. Okay, go for it. So move you guys into this. So she's basically going to jump in this tile then, right?
Within 1 tile of you. That's 1 tile. I just moved 1 space.
Yeah, alright, that works. Oh, okay, you're throwing a bunch of daggers. You're doing. Okay, alright, I get it. Who's first? Cobalt?
Cobalt's 5. Hit.
Hit, so he's dead. Just take him off the board. Zombie. Let's go zombie next.
Hit.
11, hit.
Dead.
Rat swarm.
Dead.
And blazing skeleton. The one you... 13? Oh, that's a hit. Armor class 13.
Oh!
He's dead.
I killed...
That was pretty cool, actually.
Alright, that was awesome.
Alright, we'll go back. Game is just about over. We've pretty much won this scenario.
Well, there you go. That was our 1 battle report that we showed here in the video. We did play about 4 missions, so... We got a lot more, playtime in other than that one, but we just had, one video show you to get an idea of how the gameplay works. So here's how this segment works. We're going to go for about a half an hour. And we're going to kind of go and say what we liked and what we didn't like, kind of discuss why we felt that way about this game. At the very end, we're going to total up our whole So Sweet and Hater Raids kind of thing, and we'll give our final reviews about the game. So, here we go. Let's start off with the flow of the gameplay. Let's kind of go in order, say if we liked or didn't like how the gameplay flowed, and we'll go from there. Joel, you liked how the gameplay flowed?
Very cool.
Great. Ryan?
It was good.
I'm going to join them. Kyle?
Definitely liked it.
So we got, yeah, definitely very good. It's very fast in terms of how things go one after another. There's not a lot of crazy complex tables. Not a, right. a lot of any kind of math to do, really. As you mentioned, you're talking about how it would be good to introduce new players because it's so easy.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Like, you can invite some people over, and even if no one's ever played this game before, you learn how to play it, pick it up in 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, you do. It's very simple.
Very simple, but not too simple. It's still enough to, you know, keep it interesting and keep it fun.
There's a lot of events we'll talk about a little bit when we get to it. What about, anything else to say about the flow of gameplay? Any trouble we really had?
The only problems we had is just remembering the cards that yes. at the end of your turn, what you're supposed to pick up, especially the treasure cards.
Yeah, I'm and then terrible maybe, at that.
So I think that's probably the only downside, is just remembering which cards you have to pick up.
One negative point, because there's lots of little things to do, kind of, that you keep track of. Mm-hmm.
Requires a little bit of diligence.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does.
But that keeps the game interesting, we'll I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. But, it, you know, it's a little bit of a knock to the flow of gameplay. I think, if for me, a little bit on the flow of gameplay kind of related to this. We'll talk more about it, though, later on. I'll give points for it then. But the rules were kind of, there's some parts of the rules didn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, in terms of, they aren't very well explained in the rules. Holy crap, my camera's falling.
And there goes the camera. And boom, goes the dynamite.
Give me a moment. I was watching my camera fall.
Let's go to the next topic. You take over the scorecard. Movement, rules, and tactics. What do you guys like about that?
Movement, rules, and tactics.
I need some duct tape. There it is.
More duct tape.
Ryan, run the scoreboard. Movement, rules, and tactics.
Okay.
I liked it.
These are Kyle? Both characters and monsters.
I did enjoy the tactics and character movement.
Yeah, the character movement was very cool. I liked how it gave you the option of having your character, if he's not attacking, move twice. So that way you're not just creeping along and being useless and bored.
Jason,
how about you?
Put one for me for hater rig. This is the one that kind of fuzzy parts. I'll explain why when I'm done fixing the camera rig.
Unless you consider line of sight part tactics.
That's more combat than movement.
Okay.
That's more
combat.
Yeah,
like moving around, I mean, it's kind of interesting, almost a little confusing how, I mean, sometimes it talks about it being like a square away rather than a little square.
You mean a tile?
A tile and square.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, when I got started with it, that was kind of confusing a little bit. But, I mean, you learn what difference between a square and a tile pretty fast.
Yeah, a tile is like the actual section of the board that usually is about a 4x4 amount of squares. That is like new rooms and new halls and new chambers that you walk into. Or squares are obviously individual places where a character can occupy at any given time. I guess I'll say why I thought it was kind of a little hater rate, a little bit fuzzy. This is one of those parts where some of the monster cards will say, like, move one tile closer or attack closest hero, and they don't really elaborate on what they mean by, say, what's the closest hero. They don't actually say, how do you determine the closest hero? Is it, like, if they're equal spaces away, how do you choose? I mean, normally, it's being a cooperative game, you kind of fall back to what's best for all the players.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's not, like, that big of a deal, because, like I said, it's a cooperative game, but they don't really explain some of the distance measurements and some of the other little, just kind of little details of monster movement that you may run into in the game.
Yeah, some of like the fine details from the rule book. I would say that is a minus. I mean, maybe this game should have been play tested more for that.
Yeah, I don't know. Possibly. They're literally just not in there almost sometimes. Yeah.
Maybe they did it as an easier way for the game so that people just don't die in the game and they lose.
Yeah, they left the player a little wiggle room.
Maybe it was just
cheat a little bit in your own favor.
Yeah.
I mean, since you're not against each other in this game, why not at least try and make it so that the characters can live?
Yeah.
And, I mean, one thing about movement rules and tactics as well is, I mean, we're not talking about combat, but say moving away from, like, maybe a monster that's adjacent from you. when sometimes in games to where if you're right next to an opponent, mm-hmm. you can't leave them without getting hit.
Yeah, some kind of penalty to that. There isn't here.
Yeah, there isn't that, which is, I think, is actually cool. It benefits the game because, I mean, last thing you want to be is slaughtered by something you're trying to run away from.
All right, let's move on to combat rules and tactics. Let's see. Let's start with Kyle this time. You like him or hate him? Let's separate combat rules one and tactics is one. Let's separate the two. Combat rules and then combat tactics. What do you say?
The combat rules are fine.
Okay.
I mean, unless you consider line of sight, though, is the one.
We'll put Haterade for line of sight separately from everything else.
Because there's some vagueness. I mean, overall, I like it, the rules, but there's a couple of points where it's just vague.
Yes.
And
it's like you can shoot at something that's one tile away, even if it's around
or,
a corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, around a corner where there's a wall there. Hey, I can see him.
Basically, line of sight is not defined in this game. All it always defined is distance. Like we're saying, like you shoot through other monsters, shoot through other heroes. You could shoot through around the corner in certain circumstances. You have the right weapons. It's kind of funny like that. So I'm going to say, yeah, that's one of those little fuzzy points. What do you guys say? Is that enough to be a Haterade point for you guys?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. But then, otherwise, what about... Okay, so what I say for combat rules, I don't like them, but I like the tactics of the game. We'll explain that in a minute. But Ryan, you like the combat rules? And
I like the tactics. I mean, sometimes the rules, like I said at the very beginning, were kind of confusing.
Okay. Is that enough for Haterade?
Yeah.
Okay, Joel? Rules and tactics.
Combat rules... I've got a thing with the D20. I think it's a little too wildly unpredictable.
Mm.
Especially in combat, so I'm going to...
What about tactics, then?
Tactics were good, though. Okay. I like the tactics, especially how you had the little cards to supplement yourself.
Yeah, same thing with the D20. All the combat in this game is based around a single D20, because I guess it's being done in Dragons.
But I kind of thought what made up for that, and this is why I was more of the so sweet, was the fact that there are cards that offset the predictability of it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The unpredictability, I should say. And then there's even treasure cards, which allow you re-roll stuff. Mm-hmm. There is plus one bonuses, stuff that makes it more predictable for you to hit something. I believe it was enough to, you know, make it more of a so sweet than...
Okay.
Then if they didn't have this, then that, absolutely, I would agree with you.
There are certain different attacks and different powers you can use to add probability in your favor of hitting, which is definitely a good thing.
So I just thought that helped to, you know, add to the rules kind of thing. I think it's like a part of the rules as much as part, you know, tactics.
Yeah, for me, it's kind of funny. The reason I don't like, not so much the fact of the D20, the fact it's a single die. It's this weird kind of mental thing that goes in your head that's separate of, you know, the actual figure out the math probability. Where having four or five dice you're rolling for one attack is kind of cool. You know, there's too many dice is a bad thing. Not enough dice is kind of a bad thing as well. One die doesn't seem very dramatic when you're rolling to see if you hit or not. 20 figures. That never comes up. But
you get to upgrade.
I get upgrade. Level up. That never happened at all in this freaking game. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, that's the one down.
That's one of the downsides. But that's actually a whole separate section down here talking about that. All right, so that's a quick... anything else about camping? Or how about tactics? We haven't talked about that too much. I like because there's lots of options.
Yeah,
every character has probably got, when you create your character, talk about that, but it's probably about 10 different cards that you can choose from to build your character.
And it could be based on the scenario that you're going for. I mean, in this case, there's certain cards I wouldn't take. Unlike against the dragon, I want to take more powerful cards.
Yes, and there's also ways you can kind of put two or three cards together or use multiple heroes' powers together to make yourself more powerful and do your crazy fly into the room and kill four monsters in one turn kind of action. That was awesome. Because that just gets us so sweet for that fact that it happens.
Absolutely.
Okay, we have Ryan's going to give a point for that too. All right, let's jump over to some of the smaller topics. Let's go next to... Let's talk about character creation. We mentioned about that in combat tactics. There is a little bit of character creation in this game. It's nothing like you would see in the full Dungeons & Dragons or any kind of role-playing game for that matter. But pretty much how it works is you've got three different types of powers you can choose from: at-will powers, utility powers, and daily powers. And it says select these many of that type for each character.
And then you get usually one that's automatic.
Yeah, as Some do. I don't.
Oh, you don't?
My ranger doesn't. But I think I might be the only one that doesn't. But the ranger's got some pretty cool stuff. So what do you guys think about that character creation? You like that whole aspect of the game?
Very cool, yeah. I liked how, you know, you got to choose your at-will powers, which you could use every turn, which gave your characters, you know, distinction from each other. And then you also had your one-time powers that you were saving for when you're backed into a corner or when you're going after the giant dragon or
when you really want to do some serious damage. And
right.
And kill four.
I'm going to put a hater rate on this.
Okay, and why do you say...
Because you don't get the fireball.
For me... You know, for the context of this game works, yeah, I'll say it's good. But Alex,
I'm going to tell you why I'm going to put right on it.
Ryan? I'm Ryan now?
Ryan. You're always right. I've always mixed you two up. It's been 4 years, and I still mix you guys up. I've known both of you for longer
than
that.
They look very similar.
It's terrible. Okay, Kyle.
We look very similar.
No, you don't look very similar at all. No. If you ever watched the video, they do not look similar at all. Kyle.
Joke.
For the need for simplicity, it works really well for this game. But I agree there's some things about it that I think could have been done better.
So, Ryan, you're the one who sold Haterade. What's, like, why did it really just
I think bad? I do like how, you know, there's different options to build your character. But the problem is, for at least my character that I had, the wizard, the ones that I started with and I saw the other options, the ones that I actually had originally were the ones that seemed like the best option. The other ones just didn't seem like, I mean, was either overkill or wasn't good enough. I mean, well, you end up sticking to one set of options. I wish there was a balanced amount of options.
Well, in this case, I mean, I think the whole idea is you're supposed to play how a wizard would play. Mm-hmm. In this case, you know, there's certain things that they're really powerful, but then they've got really other tactical, weaker, you know.
The problem is there isn't much choice, though.
There isn't,
at least not for me.
You might have, too, a card that, you know, in your general mission is not going to be that valuable, but in a specific mission...
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd say at-will powers. At-will powers are basically the same. I just kept the same ones I had. Now, the utility powers, a little bit different. I mean, they did have different things to where it would help on that mission, whether or not. But I think it was only... Utility power, daily power is basically the same type of attack, really. I mean, you can change the element or whatever, it's the same thing. So I kind of felt like there kind of maybe needed to be more cards instead of like 5, maybe 10 cards, so you have a little bit more of a selection. Just a little bit more.
Yeah. I've noticed that too, like when I play the Ranger here, I've taken the same 4 cards every time. Mm-hmm. Actually, pretty much the same 4 cards, but... It's simple. That's the one advantage to it.
Yes.
What is you say you're kind of on the fence about it too?
I don't think there is enough different cards for different missions. That's my whole thing. Is there isn't enough cards? But I mean,
it'd be cool if it's like 20 cards per character and stuff
tactics,
like that.
No, the cards we have, they're good.
They're
very good.
But I believe the other downside is because certain people only play in a certain manner. And that's why you will only take these set of cards, because you're only going to play this way.
Yeah, and that kind of...
Unfortunately, unless you have a different mindset where you want to try new tactics out on how to play, which a lot of people will not want to.
You're right, yeah.
You're going to only do this way, and since it's monster killing, most people are going to want all the, hey, I did, you know, 4 damage in one, you know, to one monster... You know, in one chance.
Yeah, people just aren't going to change, you know, the style of play, and that's going to kind of get a little bit of repetitiveness going to
exactly.
It, like that. Which I think this kind of ties into what moved another system. Another one of the serious flaws of this game is not many, there's only a few. There's no campaign system. When I saw this game, the first thing I remembered was HeroQuest, an old game from the early 90s, a Games Workshop spinoff of Warhammer Fantasy, where you played as a band of heroes going through dungeons, slaughtering monsters. Just like how this game, not quite like this game, but same idea. But what made it so awesome was, from mission 1 to the end of mission 40, when you played with all the expansions, these two that were in America, you could play the same character over and over again. They get more powerful, new weapons, new equipment, it gets stronger and cooler. And you don't have that here. And that, is, for me, is a huge escape.
And you would think with D&D being, you know, the prime thing with D&D supposedly is leveling up your characters.
Yes.
And can I actually say something? Because one of my topics I have is the adventure book itself.
Okay.
Which is apart from the rule book.
Mm-hmm.
And basically giving you scenarios, battle scenarios that we were playing. And you only get 13 scenarios. I wish there could have been more.
Yes.
And I wish it could have been in the way that you were saying it, Jason, that, you know, you can develop your characters. And I think it tries to do that, but it doesn't accomplish it.
But the other thing is, every mission, you restart your characters.
Yes.
So, right. I mean, I think if you actually could get stronger from mission to mission, you would use more diverse tactics, and you could add, you know, more powers into your equipment and maybe
have
different weapons. And
many different cards could have different levels. These cards can only be used at level such and such, level 5.
Or maybe as your cards get more powerful as you
That's what I'm saying, yes.
And these cards can level up, but the problem is it's almost...
All weak.
Should we talk about leveling up? Since it's kind of
sure.
There is a leveling up system to this, but it's so stupid.
That's a hater age.
Yes.
That's why do we even bother?
I would totally agree.
Yeah.
I'll explain how it works and see why it's so stupid. You kill monsters, get experience. Obviously, like every other game out there. When you have earned 5 experience, which is maybe about 3 monsters on average.
Three to four,
you have a chance to level up if when you attack another monster, you roll a 20 on the die. At that point, if you do roll a natural 20, you may spend 5 experience to level up to level 2, which gives you a slightly better armor class and more hit points.
Yeah, and maybe a critical hit.
The problem is...
It kind of stinks if you don't have the experience points.
The question is, let's ask this question. In the entire games we played, how many times did we level up?
Zero!
Zero!
Zippo.
It just doesn't happen enough to be useful. It'd be much cooler if it was some kind of campaign system, or if it was, you could automatically do it easily.
Because you use 5, anyways, there would be a decision anyways between using it and saving it for your experience for some of the other tactics, which you can use with experience. So why wouldn't you be able to naturally do it? I do not know.
It would have been a lot cooler if they'd maybe said,
you have the option.
You have 10 experience points than having to roll 20.
Even five.
Now, Jason, I do want to put this so sweet, though, on for the adventure book itself, because it is good.
Okay, all right.
Adventure book is cool. I mean, I don't want to downgrade that.
We kind of got stolen.
But it's still the...
Derailed your topic, didn't
we? It's still something to be desired.
Yeah. So why don't we go... Do you want to say anything more about the leveling up?
It should have been handled
a lot better.
So let's jump over to talking a little bit about the venture book. One thing that's cool is there's a lot of mission diversity to this game.
Yes,
it's not just walk into the dungeon and kill. Well, it is walk into the dungeon and kill stuff. The overall objective is not just kill so many monsters or necessarily kill a single monster. Though there is some of that, but there's things like there's one mission where you got to defend the town where monsters are rushing the staircase. There's one we just played where you got to escort this kind of half vampire creature to try to save him. It's really cool how they did that. And there's different setups too, like the one with the horror of the horrible hag. It's like this weird maze setup that's different than in the normal dungeon exploration. And
I think this is one of the best things about this game is the unpredictability of when you get into these scenarios, you do not know what's going to happen.
Yeah, because there's a lot of
work.
We are doomed.
We are doomed.
That's what Kyle was doing after
that. I think that's the best thing about this game. It makes it a lot of
fun. One of the things I liked a lot about this rule book is that it's very... the whole thing is color, which I think is really cool.
Yes,
because a lot of places you just get black and white,
and they give good examples in there.
They give good examples.
Big pictures are good.
Big pictures of the cards.
Those kids learn that one next time.
Cool pictures of the gargoyles and whatnot. I mean, that's a lot of fun. It's very cool.
And they made it small enough where it's not 5,000-page rule book where
how often do you go to play a game and you take out the rule book and you groan because, it's like studying for a test, learning the rules, I've had that happen before.
I have still yet to play a game of Warhammer 40K or Warhammer Fantasy where you don't check the rule book at least once.
Right, because there's always something.
Yeah, so this is a very simple rule book, which is very nice.
And it's great for any non-miniature war gamer type person to play, too.
So we're talking a little bit about the kind of random nature to the game just a little bit ago, so let's kind of continue on that line and talk about the encounter cards. Mm-hmm. I really like these decks.
Yes.
What do you guys say?
Yes. I really like it.
Oh, yes.
Pretty cool.
Love it.
Now, these are drawn for various reasons throughout the game. They basically can add traps, add more monsters, cause you to fall through a portal where you get slashed up with knives. Right?
Basically, you end up fearing those encounter cards. You really do.
Absolutely.
And the reason, there's two reasons they're cool. One, they keep the heroes moving, because basically normally, most of the time when you explore a new dungeon tile, you don't have to draw an encounter card. Sometimes you do, but most of the time you don't. But if you sit still and just kind of, you know, play kill all the monsters, you're going to be drawing encounter card after encounter card after encounter card, meaning more bad things are coming at you.
Yeah.
Right.
And the other advantage is also a scaling factor in terms of difficulty of the game. The fact that when you have more players, you're probably doing less exploration, so less, you know, maybe the same amount of monsters as, like, say, four players versus two players. But the fact is, you got more players drawing more encounter cards, you're going to be taking more damage and more crap from that to mess around with you. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I agree.
I agree. That's the way to do it.
We can go back to the scenarios
for
a second.
Go for it. What do you want to say?
One thing I really like, too, is that they have different scenarios for a number of players, it seems. I mean, if you want to try to take on a hard scenario with two people, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you have scenarios that, okay, if you're just playing with your buddy, it's a little simpler. Like, you have to get, what was it, 6 treasures or 3 treasures
each? Yeah, the 12.
Or you also have the stuff where you pretty much have to have 4 people, like, kill the zombie dragon. For example.
That's probably not going to be easy.
That's probably not going to happen with two people. So that's something where, you know, group of 5 people can sit down and have a good time doing it.
I want to give a bonus point because there are 2 missions in there which are totally solo. You can play by yourself without anybody else. This is one of the few games where you can actually kind of, if you're absolutely bored, trapped in your house for some reason, you can pull out and play just with yourself without looking crazy to other people. Because never mind.
Nobody wants to watch you playing with yourself.
Right. I deserve that one.
Joel thought my luck coming.
Couldn't help.
Joel,
I wasn't going to say anything.
We did mission variety. Now, let's see. Experience we talked about a little bit. Oh, two things. Let's go some things I don't quite like. So we got a few minutes left here. For me, I did not like the way the dungeon exploration works.
Really?
Yes. Actually, I do.
I liked it a lot.
I liked it.
And the reason why I don't like it is it's basically stumble through the dark and you will find your objective. No matter which way you go, as long as you keep exploring, you're going to find the room you're looking for or where the monster is hiding and you will find it. The reason is there are other games that are similar to this where they have mechanics where you kind of go to an area, branches off, you basically take the kind of cards that determine what's coming up and split them into 2 piles. So now you've got a situation where 1 pile will definitely lead to the conclusion and 1 will lead to a dead end. And as the game branches off, you get a little maze built up like that. And therefore, you know, you could possibly be walking into a dead end or to a trap or something.
Right.
Whereas this way, you know, if you keep exploring randomly long enough, eventually you're going to stumble on the final room.
I think it's just a different, simpler game.
So, yeah.
I
mean, that's what I was just thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, no, it's good for what it is because, I mean, I think if you had that type of scenario with this type of game, you're going to be overwhelmed by everything. I don't think that would work for this game.
No, we would have been doomed for certainty if we had gone the wrong way.
Because if we'd gone the wrong way and we got all beat up and lost our hit points and used a few of our powers and we found a dead end, then what?
Then
pretty much the game's over.
Yes,
yeah.
The game is over. There isn't enough hit points to be able to play that type of game.
Because then we're just going to get beat up on the way back by the event cards.
And then we've got to start off. The monsters. And pretty much have to get pure luck.
You want to say something?
Yeah, I do have another... not a hater. Mm-hmm. It's so sweet.
All right, let's go ahead. We got about five minutes left. So why don't we just kind of go around quickly here saying, you know, anything else we liked or didn't like. So, Joel, you have anything you want to say?
Well, I'm curious. What did you guys think of the feature where if one person dies, the game's over?
Oh, that's terrible.
That's terrible.
I hate it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I liked it.
So the game basically works.
Well, actually, no. I'll switch. I'll say it's sweet.
Okay.
I'll say it's sweet.
Let me tell you why I liked it.
All right.
Because I don't like it, but I like it. So.
It forces you to look out for your teammates.
It does. Yeah, it's true.
That way, you know, I can't just laugh at Kyle while he's getting beat up by all the monsters and just be like, screw you, buddy. So you have to look out for your teammates. You can't be totally self-interested. You know, you might force you to use a magic power to save your teammate that you would much rather save for yourself and save your own behind. But you got to look out for your teammates. I thought that was very cool. Plus, I think it's very cool that if somebody dies, they're not going to be bored for the next 25 minutes while their friends finish the game.
I think it does provide a unique element of gameplay to where you're exactly right. You do have to look out for everybody, and every decision you make, not only affects you, but it affects your team. It affects the people you're with. So exactly, it is a good element of gameplay.
So I remember when we played once, I had a magic potion that would give me more hit points, and I really, really, really wanted to use that on myself, but I forget who I gave it to, but I had...
Probably me at the time.
It was probably Ryan or Jason. I had to hand it over to them just to keep them alive long enough to keep the game going.
Complete the mission.
Yeah.
No, I got to move mine over now that you mentioned that.
Okay.
We're allowed to do that, by the way. I introduced that about four episodes ago.
And I'm going to be moving mine over also.
Okay. All right.
But, I mean...
Yeah.
Exactly.
Those were all very good points. I mean, the one thing which I could say counter it, just on the other side, is you with enough monsters on there, you're actually making it hard by not helping out the person you're exploring, finding something. And you have one less person, it makes it a heck of a lot harder to be able to complete the mission.
Plus, don't you hate it when you're playing a board game with your buddies and you're the first to die, and then you got to spend the next hour and a half just wandering around looking for something to keep yourself entertained.
Like Jason's BB gun.
Or
the airsoft gun, should I say. Yes.
Okay.
Which I would do.
Ryan, your topic.
Okay. I think one thing I like about this game, and I noticed in playing this a few times, how it seemed like every time that we were playing it, it seemed like, oh gosh, we're going to die. We cannot possibly make it. But this game is balanced. it's balanced enough to where...
He's not going to do it.
It's balanced enough to where you can come back. You can bounce back from that. Your chances might be slim, but it's not impossible to win. Because I know there's some games out there to where it's like, when you're done,
It's a sliding skill.
Yes. This, you can slide back up and eventually beat the game. When we were facing the dragon, I thought even to the very end that we were done.
Actually, I didn't think we were done, actually. Yeah.
Well, you only had four damage attack or whatever. You're gonna
and I didn't
like,
see
oh,
that,
yeah.
so I didn't know. Yeah. So
that is kind of cool. I'll give them so sweet for that also.
Yeah. You do have some quirks, but it is very nicely balanced.
Because you do have certain games where, the chance of beating the big mad monster is pretty much nothing.
Like the old Nintendo games? Video games?
Yeah. Well, it's just, kind of the same idea, But, with this... The big zombie dragon, he's really big, he's really scary, and he's, really going to knock you around. But it's
before
not impossible.
You, even get to him.
You can do it. if you work together and, roll the dice just right.
Our scenario, before we even got to him, we were like,
dying.
We were just like, crap. All right, well, let me jump to my... I got one quick topic. One thing I don't like that's kind of... I think it's another thing that's missing from the game. Even though I like the idea it's cooperative, it would be cool to have, a game master aspect to it, where you could have rules for creating a adventure for the heroes to kind of go through, and then one player's controlling all the monsters and, giving them a cool story or something to play alongside.
That would be fun to add on. I agree with that. I mean, because that would have been a good element to add on to the game.
Like to have an option for a game master.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Haterade?
That's D&D.
Okay. That gives a little more D&D to it. Okay. Kyle, anything you want to...
One thing I did not like was how the hit points were set up in this game. The hit points are too low for the characters to begin with.
It worked for me. I had 10.
So
to make up for it, and maybe this was an afterthought, they created healing surges.
Healing surges are kind of stupid. They're a bit of a kludge to fix the problems.
I kind of think that, that because when you die, you're supposed to die. But you're not dead until the next turn, when the healing surge happens.
Because there's a point where, Ryan was dead, and we're like, okay, let the gargoyle rip his carcass off some more. We know he's going to get a healing surge. He's going to stand up. Victory! Boom! And punch the guy in the face. Really? That is a little ridiculous.
And so, maybe the best way to fix that would have been just add, two more hit points to each character and not actually worry about having a healing surge.
My guess is that after test playing this, they realized the hit point system needed a little tweaking.
And so they didn't want to adjust
the cards.
Hey, guys,
healing surge.
It may have been, it may have been a late game kind of testing and like, oh, crap, oh, crap, oh, crap.
It kind of looks like it.
30 minutes is up. It's like, that's our new title. Don't worry, Ryan's card is up.
As long as my name's in the title, I don't care.
Right.
I'm going to have fun with that title. Okay. Final reviews. Let's go ahead, Ryan. You want to count the so-so characters?
Jeez.
Round 31.
Let's just put 51.
So 51 so sweets, the 31 hater rates. That's a pretty good game. It's a pretty good game. Final reviews, Joel.
Very cool. This is actually the first game that after playing it a few times, the review, I actually want to run out and buy it.
Ryan?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Sorry. I mean, I was ready to go. Ryan, you pointed to me. I looked at you.
I forget what I was going to say. Like what Joel said, whenever I review a game, whenever I look at a game, I say, would I want to buy this and would I want to play this with friends and family? And this is a game I definitely would want to buy and want to play. It's got a lot of tweaks with it, but it's really simple to use. I mean, you can like set it down like at a party and people have a ball with it. Yeah. It's just one of them. It's a very good game.
I absolutely actually enjoyed this game, believe it or not. It's very simple. I mean, I already know the rules after three times playing. Don't have to look into that rule book and, you know, say, what the heck am I supposed to be doing in this situation?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, for, you know, $65, you know what? Compared to other games, same thing. This is more than worth the price.
It's a good Christmas gift.
It really is.
If I could throw in a comment, too. I learned how to play this game last weekend. Then during the week, I kind of, you know, I didn't remember. But then within one round, it was like, boom, it's back.
Yeah. Yep. So, easy to remember.
Yeah, it's very easy to remember.
So, I mean, and that's why I feel it makes it the greatest value is that you can set up and play and not have to, you know, explain things for an hour and then miss rules and just have to go back into the rules. And then yell at it after playing 8 hours of a game.
The wrong way. Right.
The wrong way.
Dang you, Twilight Imperium.
Which was an awesome game.
Oh, yeah, it's an awesome game.
Just 8 hours into the game, we kind of realized we were doing it all wrong.
Okay. For me, this is a very good game. It's probably one expansion pack away from being a really awesome game. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I really was excited to see this game because I'm such a big fan of the old HeroQuest game. It's not quite in level with HeroQuest because, like I mentioned, it's missing the whole player versus player, the whole game master thing, the whole campaign stuff. But as a standalone game, it's really a lot of fun to play. And it's definitely something I would, you know, basically take over to other friends' place because, you know, it's not too hard to pick up. There's a lot of stuff out here, so it looks like it's complicated, but it's actually pretty easy to pick up. It'd be a good thing to introduce other players into more serious board gaming or non-Euro gaming stuff.
Yes.
Okay. So I guess with that, I got a few last emails to talk about.
Really?
We got two, but that's because it's been like 4 weeks since I recorded a show because of the whole Lizardman Build Temple thing I did. So the first email is really quick and short. They're actually writing, want to know if we are going to review Leviathans by Catalyst Games Labs. That was actually supposed to be out earlier in the spring. This is the kind of World War I-ish alternate history, battleships flying in the sky, the starter kit sitting over there behind Kyle. The free starter kit. The full set isn't out yet. I was waiting for that to come out to review. And the reason their company ran into some issues with, I guess, business procedure issues, there's a blog post about it. You can find it on their website to get more of the details. So the game got delayed quite a bit. I don't know when it's coming out. I don't have a release date, but it was on my list of things to review. So that's why we haven't talked about it yet. The other one, which this is Jason being just kind of irresponsible. Actually, because someone sent me an email. Two guys. I think it's two guys that I think are on. Maybe three. I don't know. I just didn't listen to the show yet. I feel terrible. I feel terrible.
What's up?
I'll explain what's going on. Basically, some couple guys emailed us because they hate WizKids as well, apparently.
Oh, yay.
And yes!
And they wrote their own custom rule set to MechWarrior, kind of like how we did. I know I told Kyle about it, but I honestly forgot to write down who it was or where the website was or what the promo was all about.
But you could post it on your website, though.
It'll be in the show notes. It was a new podcast talking all about their alternate rule set they created. I honestly haven't read the rules yet. I've been so busy with so much stuff.
We need to test that out.
We should. It'd be a good excuse to get our old MechWarrior figures back out.
My two full armies. Ryan can take one.
I haven't played it yet, so I'd love to play MechWarrior sometime.
All right, well, that's about it. That's, like I said, the links that show and the show note will be in the show notes over at tabletopbattlezone.com/podcast.
Hopefully do a test within the next few weeks, two or three weeks on it.
We'll see.
Give it a try, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll give it a try. I probably won't do a full show on it or anything, but it'll be fun to try out.
We'll do a quick review, though.
All right, usual questions or comments, send them over to me at jason@rockosoftware.com. That's rockosoftware.com. And on the topic of sending me emails, we do have our 100th episode coming up. So if you want to send us some random question you might want us to answer on the show, you're more than welcome to do it. That's coming up like 3 episodes from now. So just send them to me and put in the show or the email title, random question for 100th episode, and we'll answer it on the show, maybe. If it's appropriate.
Possibly.
And we want to answer it.
Yeah. If we feel like it.
If we feel like answering, we might do it. Because, it's going to be kind of a totally waste of time, screw-up episode. Twitter, TT_Battlefield. So you can follow me there and my latest thoughts about why I think Elizabeth got screwed at 8th Edition Fantasy. Ryan.
Our Man 4, as always.
So with that, anything else you guys want to quickly mention? Anything useful? Nope.
No.
Okay. Yeah, go out and buy this game. At least give it a try. It's a lot of fun. So, in 2 weeks, hopefully we'll see you again as we review Please Stand by Battle Bunker Games, I believe. But hopefully that'll be for a Halloween episode. So we'll see you in 2 weeks on the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.